Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Zanzibar, a magical name. I'll spell it Zanzibar. And for some reason, it sort of had a sort of a fairy tale sort of sounding sort of name. And I've sort of read about it a little bit when I read through the Wikipedia article on Oman. And the Oman Empire, and having the island of Zanzibar, it sort of sounds like a really fantastic, slightly African, Arabic, Arabic sort of fusion world, a sort of fantasy world that Aladdin might go to or something like that. I've decided I'm going to read the Yemen article, which is a bit sort of heavy going. Zanzibar sounds something I've always really wanted to know exactly where it is. So I'll say where it is. You've got the Arabian Peninsula, and jutting up towards the Arabian Peninsula is the Horn of Africa, which has got Somalia, Ethiopia, that type of stuff associated with it. Then as Africa goes down towards South Africa, it comes juts out a bit. And that in that sort of bay in which it jets out are these two islands which form up Zanzibar. And one of the things I didn't quite understand is how Zanzibar is related to Tanzania, and it's actually Tanzania is actually a fused country of something called Tani something or other, and Zanzibar is a sort of a fused thing, like a SUTIM, or you know, a ship. You fuse the two names together to get Zanzibar. So it has a flag, which I have to say is the most irritating flag I have seen. It's just the Zanzibar flag is just insanely irritating. Visually, it's irritating beyond anything I could possibly imagine. I can't describe it. It's got it's blue, black, green. So that's I don't know, like if someone wore a top with that colouring, you'd be diving down into the compliments bottom drawer trying to fish around for a compliment on that. But then it's got a red, black, blue end sign in the sort of the top left hoist corner, and that's coming up at an angle, and it's sort of like where you expect the Union Jack to be there or something like that. It's another green, black, blue, same colour blue, and it's just very annoying to look at. So I'm sorry, Zanzibar. And the anthem is God Has Blessed Us. Of course it is. Zanzibar, Romanized Zanzibar, it's Arabic, Swahili, a semi-autonomous region of Tanzania, i.e. semi-autonomous. It's just almost a separate country, but it's not. It is composed of the Zanzibar Archipelago in the Indian Ocean, 20 to 50 kilometres off the coast of the mainland, and consists of many small islands and two large ones. Unyanja, the main island, is referred informally as Zanzibar, and Pemba Island. The capital is Zanzibar City, located on the island of Unanga. What? Well, I wonder if Zanzibar City. Zanzibar City sounds like it, so it's on the actual one of the main islands. Its historic centre is Stone Town, which is World Heritage Site. Oh, far out! I'd love to have zoned Stone Town and Zanzibar, wouldn't that be great? Zanzibar's main industries are spices, raffia, and tourism. In particular, the islands produce cloves, nutmeg, cinnamon, and black pepper. Having a taste sensation is already. For this reason, the Zanzibar Archipelago with Tanzania Mafia Island, there is an island called Mafia Island, are sometimes referred to locally as the Spice Islands, a term borrowed from the Maluku Islands of Indonesia. Zanzibar is home to the endemic Zanzibar colobus, Servaline genet, and the extinct or rare Zanzibar leopard. Oh, poor leopard. Well, there you go. Zanzibar. Okay, etymology. The word Zanzibar comes from the Arabic Zanzibar, which is a term for the Persian, which is a compound of Zang and black coast. The Sea of Zang, the name is one of several toponyms sharing the similar etymologies, ultimately meaning land of the blacks, or similarly meaning in reference to the dark skin of the inhabitants. Isn't that beautiful? Zanzibar means black place. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, well, I don't know. Page 2. History. Pre-1498. So 1498 is, well, King Henry, King Henry of England's time. The presence of microliths suggests that Zanzibar, these are small stones, have been homes of humans for at least 20,000 years, which was at the beginning of the later Stone Age. It's the difference, Paleolithic and Lithic. It's got Lithic in it, it's an age. And there's the modern Stone Age and stuff like that. A Greco-Roman text between the 1st and 3rd century, the Pephilus of the Ithirian Sea, mentions the island of Menthusus, the ancient Greek meaning something probably means, and probably Yuga. Zanzibar, like the nearby coast, was settled by the Bantu speakers at the outset of the first millennium. Archaeological finds at Franco. Yeah, these islands are only recently settled, in actual fact, because I think Madagascar is only the same times as New Zealand. It's pretty amazing. Archaeological finds at Fukuchani. Now, there was something which really made me laugh. I can't remember. This is so horrible. There was something which really intensely made me laugh, but I can't remember. On the northeastern coast of Zanzibar, indicate settled agricultural and fishing community in the 6th century CE, and at the latest, a considerable amount of daub, D-A-U-B, found indicates timber buildings and shell beads, bead grinders, iron slags have been found at the site. There's evidence of limited engagement and long-distance trade. A small amount of imported pottery has been found. Less than 1% of the total pottery found, mostly from the Gulf, are dated to the 5th and 8th century. The similarity to contemporary sites such as Mokoldini and Dar es Salaam indicates a unified group of communities that developed into the first centre of the coastal maritime culture. The coastal towns appear to have been engaged in Indian Ocean and inland African trade from at this early period. I'm just really trying to. There was a word so funny I read before, but I can't. It's all lost. I'm going to have to keep on uploading, and hopefully I get a greater retention rate. All I can remember that I've got to do is the Dutch problem. I can't remember anything else. Oh, at Zanzibar, I was going to look at this. The trade rapidly increased importance in the quality beginning of the 8th century. And by the close of the 10th century, Zanzibar was one of this central Swahili trading towns. Wow. Excavation at the nearby Pemba Island, but especially at Shenga in Lantu and Archipelago, provide the clearest picture of an architectural development. Houses were originally built in timber around 1050, so remember 1066 and all that, and later with mud and coral walls. The houses were continually rebuilt with more permanent materials. By the 13th century, houses were built of stone and bound with mud, and the 14th century saw the use of lime to bond the stone. Only wealthier Parthian would have such stone and lime to build houses. The strength of materials allowing for flat roofs, while the majority of the population lived in single-story thatched houses similar to those of the 11th and 12th centuries. Which is, thatched roofs are sort of like England. It's where we think it's all cute. According to John Middleton and Mark Horton, the architectural style of these houses have no Arab or Persian elements, and should be viewed as entirely indigenous development of the local vernacular architecture. While much of Zanzibar town's architecture was rebuilt during the Imani rules, nearby sites elucidate general development of Swahili and the Zanbari architecture before the 15th centuries. Persian, Indian and Arab traders used Zanzibar as a base for voyages between the Middle East, India, Africa. You can imagine it would be much safer if you landed on an island, you know, that you're going to have a sudden army appear. Yeah, it's, whereas, you know, Unaga, the larger of the island, offered a protected and defensible harbour. Also, although the archipelago offered few products of value, traders settled at Zanzibar City, Stone Town, a convenient point of which to trade with other Swahili coast towns. The impact of these traders and immigrants on the Swahili culture is uncertain. During the Middle Ages, Zanzibar and other settlements on the Swahili coast were advanced. The littoral contained a number of autonomous trade cities. Towns grew in wealth as the Swahili people served as intermediaries or facilitators to local, inland, mainland, African, Persian, African, Indonesian, Malaysian, Indian, and Chinese merchants and traders. The interaction contributed in part to the evolution of the Swahili culture, which developed its own written language. Though the Bantu language, the Swahili language, as a consequence today, includes some elements that were borrowed from other civilizations, particularly loan words from Arabics. With the wealth they had acquired through trade, some Arab traders also became rulers of the coastal cities. It sounds just like a board game, doesn't it? Oh, it's not beautiful. Portuguese, Vasco da Gama, what a bastard. Vasco da Gama visit, you know, round of the Cape, and then Bloodhell. In 1498 marked the beginning of the European influence. In 1504, Zanzibar became part of the Portuguese Empire when Captain Ruel Luencio Rufso Marx landed and demanded and received tribute from the Sultan in exchange for peace. Zanzibar remained a possession of Portugal for almost two centuries. It initially became part of the Portuguese province of Arabia and Ethiopia, administered by Governor General. Around 1571, Zanzibar became part of the western division of the Portuguese Empire, was administered from Mozambique. It appears, however, the Portuguese did not closely administer Zanzibar. The first English ship to visit Anguilla, the Edward Bonaventure, in 1591, found that there was no Portuguese fort or garrison. The extent of the occupation was a trade depot, where produce was purchased and collected for shipment to Mozambique. Quote, in other respects, the affairs of the islands were managed by a local king, the predecessor to Minwani Mu of Dunga. This hands-off approach ended when the Portuguese established a fort in Pemba Island around, which is a smaller island, 1635, in response to the Sultan of Mombasa's slaughter of the Portuguese residents several years early. Well, there you go. That would be. Portugal had long considered Pemba to be a troublesome launching point for rebellions in Mombasa against the Portuguese rule. So Mombasa is in Tanzania, somewhere around there. Mombasa. Sounds, you know, it's a bit like the Lion King. The precise origins of the sultans of Yonga are uncertain. However, their capital, Yuku, is believed to have be an extensive town, possibly constructed by locals. It was composed mainly of perishable materials. The Sultanate of Zanzibar. So, the Portuguese come in. I don't have the Sultanate. The Portuguese, how the Portuguese integrate. But the Portuguese arrived in East Africa in 1498 with Vasco da Gama, no doubt, where they found a series of independent towns on the coast with Muslim Arabic-speaking elites. Wow. While the Portuguese travellers describe them as black, they made clear distinction between Muslims and non-Muslim populations. Their relations with these leaders were mostly hostile, but during the 16th century, they firmly established their power and ruled with the aid of tributary sultans. Which is pretty much what they, how Britain ruled Qatar and those things. That was pretty much how they ruled via sultans, and this is how it really is the Islamist rot. So I'm just really trying to remember the bee country in an island in the Gulf of Arabia. The I can't remember, Baha'i, B-A, oh, come back to me. Oh God, it's horrible, it's brain. Okay. The Portuguese presence was relatively limited, leaving the administration in the hands of pre-existing leaders and power structures. The system lasted to 1631, when the Sultan of Mombasa massacred Portuguese inhabitants. For the remainder of their rule, Portuguese appointed European governors. The strangling of trade and diminished local power led to Swahili elites in Mombasa and Zanzibar to invite Amani aristocrats to assist them in driving out the Europeans out. There you go, that's how Amani's got in. In 1698, Zanzibar came under the influence of Sultanate of Oman. There was a brief result against Amani rules in 1784. So this is a revolt. This is when Australia is just getting kicked off. Local elites invited Amani merchant princes to settle in Zanzibar in the first half of the 19th century. Preferring them to Portuguese, many locals today continue to emphasise the indigenous Zanzibarians had invited Sayed Said the First. I'm just really trying. I hate this. I'll see if I can remember the name a bit later on, because I read this and it gets my head back. Basandi Sultan to their island, claiming the patron-client relationship with powerful families was strategically used by many Swahili coast towns since at least the 15th century. So this is sort of gives a little bit of an insight to how this entire place, it's something on the verge of big empires, it's sort of on the verge, so it's not necessarily good for development of democracies and stuff like that. In 1832 or 1840, whatever it is, the date varies amongst sources, Said bin Sultan, and that's it, Said bin Sultan and Sultan of Muscat in Oman moved his capital from Muscat, Oman, to Stone Town. Wow. What? After Said's death in June 1856, his two sons, Twami bin Said and Jamad bin Said, my daddy is, struggled over succession. Said will divided his dominions into two separate principalities, and Twami became the Sultan of Oman, and Ahmad became the Sultan of Zanzibar. His brothers quarrelled about the will, which was eventually upheld by Charles Canning, 1st Earl of Great Britain's Viceroyal Government of India. My godfather. What? Until 1890, the Sultans of Zanzibar controlled a substantial portion of the Swahili coast and Zanji, and included Mombasa and Dar. So Mombasa must be on the coast, and Dar es Salaam. Beginning in 1886, Great Britain and Germany plotted to obtain parts of Zanzibar Sultanate for their own empires. In 1886, the British German Border Commission established Zanj, a 10 nautical mile strip along the coast of the African Lakes region coast, an area stretching from Cape Dalgo, now Mozambique, to Kipini, now Kenya, which included Mombasa de la Sam. Over the next few years, however, almost all the mainland possessions were lost to European imperial powers. The Sultan developed an economy of trade and cash crops at Zanzibar Archipelago with a ruling Arab elite. Ivory was the major trade good. The archipelago, sometimes referred to the locals as Spice Island, was famously worldwide for its cloves and other spices, and the plantations were developed to be grown then. The archipelago's commerce gradually fell into the hands of traders from the Indian subcontinent, whom Said bin Sultan encouraged to settle on the island. With so much noise in the background, I'm going to stop at the moment, and this is great for Australia, the amount of rain. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. may you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.